Rich Eisen here. Right now at U.S. Cellular, everyone can get the Samsung Galaxy S23 for free. So everyone can take perfect selfies in low light with the nightography mode. Everyone can game all day and night with a longer-lasting battery. And everyone can do it all smoother than ever with Samsung's most powerful processor yet. All on U.S. Cellular's 5G network. Limited time offer. Terms and conditions apply. Sala, here you are on a plane.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
On the air now. For some reason, I have a need to help this work for you.
No, you have 12 reasons.
Sent. No. I don't need to be so obvious.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
As we text him on the air.
Safe flight.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Coming up, Seahawks head coach, Pete Carroll. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, can confirm. And there I am on screen now to confirm it. Here on the Roku channel, I am Rich Eisen. This is the show with my name on it. And pleased to have you here with us in hour number three. So much going on. I mean, it's kind of funny how when NFL Network started 20 years ago, people were asking me, what are you guys going to talk about when there's no games? Are you kidding me?
It's unbelievable.
Were you worried about that at all?
I was.
I'll be honest. Everybody was at the NFL Network. Yeah. You know, and then we realized there's nonstop stuff. Mm-hmm. And then there'd be people like a coach at USC who would come in and chat with us every now and then and would take my my analyst with me. And his name is now Pete Carroll, the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks, kind enough to join us here on this program. How you doing, coach?
What's up, Rich?
You remember that?
Well.
Remember that back in the day? NFL Network was just starting. You were there at USC?
Yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah, I thought we had a great idea. We tried to do that years before that. Pat Kerwin and I, we tried to figure out how to get a TV network.
Is that right?
Football.
I didn't know that.
Pat had the idea that people would want to listen to this stuff. And sure enough, it's still going.
It's nonstop. I mean, do you pay attention to stuff that has nothing to do with your teams and all the headlines and news? Do you get caught up in that yourself?
No, I don't. I kind of let that kind of just wash over the media ranks. I don't care that much about all that stuff.
But what other teams are up to? What are teams are doing?
We'll listen to the stuff, but it depends if it's coming from the teams or if it's coming from the guys on the radio.
Well, I mean, this radio show is different, though, Pete, right?
Of course, this one is, of course.
How has the combine changed in the 14 years now that you've been part of it with Seattle and then the years before all that,
changed,
too?
You know? I mean, it has changed quite a bit. The time frames in it were. We had too much downtime, you know. I think there's three different mornings. We didn't have anything to do until 1 o'clock,
you know,
as far as seeing players and stuff like that. So there was just a lot of quiet time. I'm not real good at quiet time, you know. It's not my best.
Right.
So it seems that's stretched out a little bit more. I think it's better for the players, and I think their time frames are a little more consistent. You know, they're working out at the same times more so, and I'm not sure about that, but it seems like it's spaced out well for them. It's not great for the guys showing up. Coaches know.
What was your first combine? Was it back when your first gig with the Bills in '84 or something like that? Was that what it was?
They probably didn't send me.
Okay.
I think I got hired after the draft. Even I don't know. I was hired pretty late there.
So in the Vikings in the '80s or with the Jets in the early '90s, is that when you first?
Yeah,
showed up?
Yeah, it would have been the Vikings way back then.
Jeez. Yeah. And things have definitely changed since then. So let's just jump into, I guess, the here and now and the signing of Geno Smith. And what do you think that means for your team in terms of seeing a guy? I know you're a guy who says always compete. It's everywhere in your building. It's always in your phraseology. And the fact that he stuck around and competed and now he's paid in the manner in which he's paid. Walk me through what you think that means.
Pete. Yeah, he really has done it all with this you know, hanging all of these years. We always loved him. I mean, he was fun to have on the team. He was always a talented guy. We could always see that, but he just couldn't get a chance to play because, you know, the QB started and Russ was never getting hurt, so there was no opportunities for him. So he just kept hanging. And what he did is he never gave up on himself. He never gave in to the fact, well, I'm a backup and that's all I'm ever going to be or whatever. He just kept believing in himself and knowing that when his opportunity arose, he was going to do something with it. And he was stubborn about it, you know. And so when it did, he look what he did. You know, it's just a remarkable come through a great statement about perseverance and belief in yourself and maintaining your confidence, even when everybody else might be doubting it or kicking it around you. He did not fall to that. And so when it came to him and there's the opportunity, we're competing and battling, he's believing it's going to happen. And then when it did, he's the starter. And he never flinched. You know, it was like, okay, and this is what I was counting on, and here we go. And he took over with a great voice to the team, you know, in the leadership role. And it's everything just fell into place for his season. And so to get to this point, Rich, where we'd sign him now, you know, and reward him for the great year and with a contract that really looks towards the future and him, you know, having a big year again and all of that, it's a great story, and he's handled it just so beautifully. That's been the great part of it. He's just been so poised and on point, and he's had a wit about him that's made him, you know, an attention getter and all that. It's just really exciting. So
look. And just to the continuity, how much where do you think there's room for improvement? Where you think just him, there's no questions, there's no Russ is there week one, there's no question about his abilities or whether he's taken ownership of this team and vice versa. It's just from jump, he's your quarterback, and that's the end of it.
That's really a great feeling for a club and a franchise. You know, there's not everybody gets to feel like that. I mean, he's got areas to improve. You know, he's got to take care of the ball better. And he got knocked. He's had a history of getting the ball knocked out of his hands. We got to do a better job there. And there's plays throughout the season, you know, that he knows he can do better. So we've got an upside to reach for, which is always good. But we do have a real sense of confidence and like you said, continuity. Then we got to put the other pieces together around it, but we're thrilled to have a quarterback.
Pete Carroll here on the Rich Eisen Show, and it is great for him, and it's great for you. You do have the fifth overall selection, and there's so many other conversations surrounding that pick. And prior to the signing of Geno, there was conversation in Indianapolis that maybe you do go quarterback at that spot, just take somebody for the long term future. Is that still a viable option for you, do you think,
Pete? Yeah, well, I think, again, this is such a rare opportunity. We've been here for 13, 14 years. We've only had one other time when we picked in the top 10. And so now that we see it, and after, you know, kind of in a frustrating fashion, you know, you sit down there in the 20s or lower, and you just don't have a shot at guys like this. So now that we do, it's certainly top of mind, and we're going to really watch how this happens. It's not going to take long, you know. Soon it'll be honest. So, but we'll see what happens, and there's some great choices, and we'll figure it out. But that's definitely in the consideration.
Well, one guy that we know you spoke to, because he mentioned it to us the other day, was Anthony Richardson. And he said, by the way, I asked him over and over and over again who he met with and who he spoke to. There's only one team where he stopped, and he said that the coach left him starstruck. By the way, I'm not just saying because it's you here, but it was you.
You say it to all those
guys. I know, it's true. He did. My guys here can absolutely attest. He's like, oh God, that's coach. I've seen him on TV. And he enjoyed meeting you. I'm wondering, you know, what your thoughts were meeting somebody who's 6'4", 244, who jumps and ran like him, and he's not a linebacker. He actually plays the quarterback position.
Yeah, well, it was a couple nights before he had done all that, you know, that really just, you know, made a big splash on the big combine scene. But it was great to see him come through like that. I mean, that's the most athletic, productive quarterback, I think, ever, you know, in terms of his numbers and all that. He was a really good kid to talk to. We had a lot of fun doing it and all that. Unlike I heard that I also got critiqued by one of the guys from last year, you know.
Sauce
Gardner,
yeah,
man.
He said
I was too close to him. I don't know what he's talking about.
He did. He said you were a close talker, is what he said.
Well, I've never been across the table. I don't know what he's talking about. I mean, I took my shirt off one time. I mean, I've done some stuff. I don't know what he's talking about, you know.
That's what he said.
Anyway, so we had some fun with that.
Right. Okay.
But anyway, he was a real impress. The quarterbacks were really impressive. Man, these guys are so well prepared, and they're just, it's amazed me. And when each guy walked out of the room, how far they have come, you know, with their awareness and their presentation and their depth of knowledge of the game and stuff. It's why these guys are so special, and they're playing so early in their careers now as they get to the league.
And what about the rest of the prospect class that you saw interviewed? Which would you identify as the deepest for the upcoming draft?
I don't know about that. There was I guess, you know, I was really impressed with the tight end group. You know, there was a bunch of guys that ran well, looked good.
Right.
That was a really consistent group. The running backs looked really good. DBs was a good group. Those are the ones that kind of jumped out. But we're still sorting it all out. You know, I can't call it yet.
No, I hear you. But I'm just wondering if there was something where you turned to, you know, John or anybody else you're around to go, wow, this particular group is really looking good.
Oh yeah, you know, that did come out. That came out like the groups I talked about.
Right.
There were some really nice presentations from the guys, and the guys are so well prepared. I don't know this NIL stuff or getting them ready for prime time. I don't know what it is, but they really seem mature and poised for the moment. Now the guys we selected to talk to were really guys we, you know, that we like and all that, but they represented in a really marvelous fashion.
Pete Carroll here on the Rich Eisen Show. A few more minutes left with the most tenured coach in the NFC now, 14 years now in the NFL with just the Seattle Seahawks here on the Rich Eisen Show. How would you rate last year for you, coach?
Oh, we almost got there. You know, we almost got there. We let games get away right in the middle of the schedule you know, any one of them, we turn it, it makes a difference. And you know, we didn't play well enough against San Francisco. They had a terrific season. We were in striking distance, even in the playoffs. You know, and going into the fourth quarter, we're there with it, and we just didn't quite get over the hump. We got a lot of areas we got to be better. We just got to get better. And if we do that, then we'll make a run and make some noise in this division again.
But would you label it a success?
Yeah,
coach.
It feels positive. The response from, you know, from ownership on across the board, your people didn't have expectations like I have, you know, and so I feel the response to it was very favorable. We surprised some people and all that. Geno's story was a gorgeous story, I can't call it like, oh, we really had a big year. I don't think that we needed to do better.
Well, I'll be honest. I mean, you again. I know we've established that you don't listen to the media conversation and buzz, but there was hardly any expectations for your team. I mean, Russ gone, Geno in, Bobby Wagner gone, a bunch of new guys in, along with some, you know, stalwarts like Lockett and Metcalf, who you re-signed. But there was hardly any expectation. You make the playoffs and. Now you hold a fifth overall selection based on the trade that you did make. I mean, that's...
Yeah, well, it's been an exciting season, though. There's no question, you know, and you know, come out and beat Denver right out of the chutes and get rolling, and then Geno starts to emerge, and he's going, and things were kind of coming together. You know, there was a lot of positives. Knowing all the time going through the season that we had this draft coming up, too, you know, with numbers that we haven't had, that's been a real positive. It's maintained an outlook that something good is going to happen here, you know, and so we're building on it. We had a really productive draft class last year from last year's selections, and the guys played a ton, and we got, you know, the tackles start for the first time, you know, and we get Tariq Woolen has a great year, and then Kenny Walker has a fantastic rookie season. So we got a lot of play out of our guys, and that I think is a big part of the momentum going into this draft in this offseason as well.
And
we got to do great in free agency too. That's a big time for us. It's coming up here in a few days, you know, so we're competing on all phases.
And then, of course, you know, do you envision long-term future? Russ coming back to Seattle, waving at the crowd, you're there, and just the family comes back together at some point, Legion of Boom, the whole business. And again, I know you're in the here and now and you're talking about the future, but so much water does appear to be under the bridge. Do you envision that in the future, Pete Carroll, do you think?
I think we're gonna continue doing what we do in the sense of, you know, looking after our players and really, you know, trying to make this a very relationship based franchise, you know, and learn about our guys and keep developing new characters and new faces and new stars and all of that. That's totally in our future, you know, and the guys that will be elevating. I mean, just talking about the guys in this draft class, you know, will be mm-hmm. storylines. But there's also storylines like who knows when, you know, when Bruce comes back and plays a heck of a season for us. You know, there aren't those kinds of storylines too that will be added to it. So I think we've got a franchise rolling here that's got a lot of history and we've got a lot of substance and we've got a culture to us that we're excited about and we know can go places. And so the stories are yet to be written. And here's Geno's new story, you know, and maybe it's Ken Walker's, you know, and we'll see how this goes. But there's a lot of positive, a lot of looking to the future in a similar fashion as we have in the past. We've always expected to do big things.
Pete, great to have you on here. And it was great to see you during the season, too. I know the result wasn't what you wanted in Munich in Germany, but I will never forget calling that game, being around your team and obviously the Bucks, and then in that stadium. That's a career highlight for me, man. I will never forget that scene.
I'm glad I'm talking about that. I really thought so, too. I thought that was a really extraordinary experience for in the NFL circuit, because it was like a bowl game, in college, and they were so up for it, and they received us so well. I mean, their populace was there, and they liked us, and we had fun with it, and Tom had a big game, unfortunately.
Yes, he did.
To do it, make the most of it, and we didn't. So I'm pissed about that, but
right.
It was really. It was a beautiful experience, and I wouldn't mind doing that again. I don't know what other countries are like necessarily. We went to London, it was fine, but this one was even more so. And because of their interest and their love for the game, it just surprised us all, I think.
Yeah, and I didn't know the Germans knew Neil Diamond like that either.
Yeah, wasn't that something?
That was really wild the whole time. Thanks again for the time. Always appreciate you calling into the show. Have a good draft, and we'll speak to you down the road. Thanks again.
Got it. Take care, Rich.
Right back at you. That's Pete Carroll, head coach, Seattle Seahawks, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. There you go.
I said something to Mike during that interview, Rich. How do you not love Pete Carroll?
He's amazing.
You know, man, he gets it. Players love him, too, and they totally respond to his personality and essence, and clearly, the relationship between he and Russ. That's why I asked him, does he ever think they'd come together again? But as for the here and now, fifth overall pick, don't discount. By the way, and if I'm Pete, I am absolutely saying that, and then I can go to Gino and say, don't worry about it, or not.
Good. Right.
But the message Pete is sending and the Seahawks are sending by sitting there at fifth overall, hey, it's so rare for us to be picking up here. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the last time he said was top 10, was that Earl Thomas? Is that their first? I don't know if Earl Thomas might have been just outside of it. It might have been the 12th overall pick, his first draft.
Stand by.
His first draft may have been that. Right. Let's that see. Year.
Yeah, 2012, they were 15. That was Bruce Irvin.
At any rate, him saying that they hadn't picked that high up. 2010, look at the 2010 draft. That's when he, and by the way, Bruce, that's the reference he made.
Yeah, 2010, Bruce. There were six. That was Russell Okung.
Okung, there you go. Yeah. And he's like, okay, it's so rare for us to be up here, so we're going to take a look at these guys. And
have to.
They meet with Anthony Richardson, who says to him, hey, I'm starstruck.
And there's no rush to start him.
One way to let everyone know who loves Anthony Richardson. You want him, you better come to five.
Yeah.
You want him, you better come to five, because he's gone at five. If you let us choose him, we're going to take him. And if they're willing to just stick with Gino and not choose that high, or they figure they're going to be around 20 again, or if it's better for them, which it is, worse. Interesting. Let's take a break. Phone calls. Everybody, we're going to empty the phone bank. That's still to come. And the Clippers owner lets everybody know they're number one or two.
That's up.
In many different ways.
Larry O.B.
That's coming up.
Youth football is all about style and fun. And the NFL celebrates that through Play Football, an initiative aimed at creating positive experiences for players, coaches, and parents, with the goal of preserving and promoting the values of the game. On the football field, kids can continue to grow through teamwork and build trust as leaders. To learn more and to find a league near you, visit playfootball.com. The future of football is here. You in?
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all gel fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's hit to the phone lines right now. Ben in New York, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Ben?
Rich, I love you. I love the show, and that's why I'm calling. I'm concerned about you, Rich.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, we've all watched in the last 48 hours your Walter White-like evolution on Rodgers to the Jets. I mean, it's been scary. And
I've broken bad? Is what you're saying? I've broken bad? What are you talking about?
All I'm saying is watching the live show of you going, oh, he's on the Jet with Woody. It's great. It was painful. I'm scared. And now my big fear is when they acquire him, you're going to be stuck in high registry forever.
What do you mean?
Oh. I mean, you're never going to not be able to talk without going into the high registry. You're going to always have to be up high. Like, it's okay. Everything's great. Sauce said that it's going to work out. Did you hear what Sauce said about the question? Don't worry about it. It's going to be constant. I don't think you're going to be able to get it.
I like it. All right, Ben.
Wow.
Ben.
Wow.
That's Ben.
Ben.
Rack him.
Ben. I mean, until they start, what, racking up wins? Then at what point do I go lower register? What
Super
point?
Super Bowl parade.
Stop it.
Yeah, I think it's at least the Super Bowl or the Pro Bowl week before the Super Bowl.
So what is the conversation in New York about it? What's going on there?
I think the conversation is that he has to come because it's going to be great media coverage and it's going to be amazing in terms of the back pages. So who wouldn't want him to come? I mean, it's a 2-year rental and let's move on.
Yeah, the greatest bridge quarterback in the history of bridge quarterbacks, right?
Exactly. But I don't want him to come because if he comes here, then I'm going to lose you. And you're going to go to the dark side. You're already there. So I don't think I want him to come.
So you don't want – I'm trying to determine. Are you a Jet fan or you're not a Jet fan?
I'm a Washington Commanders fan.
Oh, let me turn the tables on you, Ben. Do you want Lamar? Why doesn't your team want Lamar?
No. We don't want Lamar because we like what we have in our quarterback.
Oh.
The only way to win, Rich, as you know, as the king of the NFL, is with a cheap quarterback who turns into gold.
Oh.
And that is not Lamar. And I think the Commanders might do the smart thing here for once and not do anything and just hold where they are.
So, if I may, just to flip the table completely, maybe Sam's not going to be too bad at quarterback, right?
Rich, every time I talk about Sam,
maybe Howell's not going to be bad. Yeah, sure, right?
Have you seen that throw he made in the last game?
Ben in New York. Ben in New York, everybody. Ben in New York. Great job, brother. Well done. And I said that regular register.
All back.
Thank you, sir.
There you go.
Ben.
Walter White. I'm Heisenberg? Talking about Aaron Rodgers?
Have you been looking at campers recently, Rich?
No, at this point, it's got to happen now. Now it's got to happen. You fly all the way out to California and you don't come home with him?
Oh, yeah, you got it.
Meaning what? Whatever he heard wasn't convincing enough for him to accept $60 million or whatever he's making?
Or, Rich, maybe he said something that made your Jets people go,
You never know.
Well, the minute that this is now, they have got to be deep in negotiations right now. The fact that I haven't heard back from Robert Saleh, the fact that I haven't heard anything.
That's disrespectful.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's too high level to have hijinks.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have sent them, but I sent them. Like, hey, I heard you're there. Can I buy? You know, like, it's too high level. It's too high stakes for hijinks.
How much did that bother you all night, that text?
It didn't.
Oh, okay.
No.
Didn't at all. in it all. All right. I kind of felt stupid sending it because this is the man's
so
livelihood.
Then it bothered
this
you
is
a
serious.
Little bit.
No, I felt it bothered that I did it. I shouldn't have done it. You guys sometimes make me do things that I shouldn't do.
No.
I don't think any one of us said
accountability.
Your fault.
Stop it.
It's your fault.
I know I hit send, but you're like, do it. You should FaceTime him. Go for it.
No, I said FaceTime Joe Namath.
Yeah,
that was FaceTime Joe Namath.
Why not?
And then you went to I'm going to text Salah, and I asked you twice.
Richie, what's up, baby?
Do you want me to reach out to him for tomorrow?
Richie's Joe Willie.
Right now, text Joe Namath right.
I don't
Brockman, think now you can Brockman. Do that. We went from FaceTiming
Hello.
Joe to him like texting Rob. And I remember I asked him, like, are you sure you're typing this right now? I couldn't believe he was typing it out.
There's his number. Hey, Joe.
Hey.
I'm not doing this again.
No.
Joe, look at
what
your
we
man. That's your man's in them.
Your boyhood hero.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe Willie.
First
of all, you have to text him in his voice, right?
Yeah, that's mandatory.
Absolutely.
By the way, I just said I felt stupid. I'm going to feel stupid tonight.
No, you're not.
Look, how many of us can legitimately text our childhood heroes, Chris? I can't text Dr. J.
How are you?
Can you text Big Poppy?
No.
Want to come on my show tomorrow?
You can't text Quincy Jones?
That's right.
So
I could tweet at him, but that's it.
That's it.
What if Joe's on the plane? What if Joe's out here?
Joe is with him.
What if Joe's in El Segundo?
Maybe
he's like,
Joe's
Rich,
with him.
I'll
hey,
stop
Rogers,
by.
Take
hey,
my jersey.
I'm the closer. Hey, you can have my 12.
Hitting Rodeo for a couple fur
hey,
coats.
Joe Willie, it's Rich Eisen. How are you? Want to come on my show tomorrow and talk about Rogers and the Jets? I would love it.
Fantastic.
Hope you're well. I can't
amazing.
Believe I'm doing this again.
Block caller.
Rich, you miss 100% of the shots
he's dead
you
on.
Don't take.
I'm going to say this
I'm
too.
With Brockman on
much
this one.
Love.
Rich. That was okay. That moment.
All right, I'm going to hit send.
Hit it.
Do it. Do happy
it.
Happy birthday.
Do it. What
do
is
it.
His birthday? When?
No, he's saying you happy birthday.
I know.
You're a family.
Hit it.
All right,
come
hit
on.
Send.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, we got.
How did I get through?
Oh, look at that. He still got that coat in storage. He's got that whole fit.
And it would still fit him.
Hey, right? Rich, I heard some guy from New York called you Walter White. Why? Why would he?
I think Joe's a breaking
guy. Ken in Los Angeles, the great Ken Tulo, longtime Rich Eisen show producer. Ken Tulo. What's up, Ken?
Gentlemen, how you doing?
What's happening, Ken?
Kenny T.
Hey,
go for it. I know what you
Rich,
want to do.
I haven't called into a sports talk show since I was 10 years old. I had a call in today.
Did you schmooze overnight with Steve Summers? Is that what you're saying, Ken? Did you do that once in the fan?
No, some local New Haven station.
Okay, all right. Okay. Go for it. Kenny. What do you got?
But, no, I just had a call in today. Just having worked on the show, a good chunk of years.
Yep.
I was able to observe Christopher Brockman pretty up close. And I've noticed over the years that whenever New York sports teams are doing well, Chris starts chugging Haterade in large amounts.
Oh.
And I think this deep hatred is blinding him to the reality of the situation with Daniel Jones right now. Because the G-men are on the upswing. And Danny Dimes is Eli Manning 2.0 with speed.
Ooh.
And I think Chris is dreading that.
Mm.
And I don't think Chris has ever gotten over the Giants beating the Patriots twice in the Super Bowl. I'm just saying.
By the way, this is very, I think, appropriate and accurate mental dissection of Christopher Brockman, as you referred to him. Ken, he's taking all comers right now. There's somebody in Portland, Oregon offered him a free steak dinner. If the Giants do not make the playoffs and win a playoff game next year.
Yep.
You want to do it? What do you think?
This is a public service announcement to Chris. Chris has got to slow it down a little bit before he gets too many bets, before he gets involved in too many bets here.
I don't think that he knows. By the way, I think it's a BSA, a Brockman service announcement that he is rejecting. Yeah. It's not for the public. No. It's for him.
And Chris's his argument about Daniel Jones with the low numbers in terms of career touchdown passes and total wins, you guys got to realize that the Giants had the worst offensive line for like the last 3 years Daniel Jones' first couple of years. He was running for his life, and he's finally got some protection now. They got some good draft picks, and he's starting to drop some dimes here. So they're going to get some more guys coming in, get some receivers. So, you know, they're on the upswing here. I hate to tell you, Chris.
All right. Do you have anything to say to Ken?
Like, numbers don't lie. Numbers don't lie. 21, 31, and 1 as a starter.
Eli 2.0 with speed.
Mac Jones is 16 and 15 in his career.
Tennis.
On a pace for 11 more wins over the first four
seasons. It's not singles tennis, Chris. It's not singles tennis. Great response, Ken. I love it. All right, we miss you, Ken. We miss you. We'll chat soon. We will chat soon, Ken. Thank you. That's Ken Tulo.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Longtime Rich Eisen Show producer.
Back him.
Phil in Oklahoma. Let's take your phone call. What's up, Phil?
Hey, Rich. Longtime listener, first-time caller.
Where you been? Where you been?
Shout out Brockman, Mr. Del Tufo, best producer in the biz, and TJ. Got to give you guys a hello shout real quick.
Thanks, man.
So I feel like I'm losing my mind, Rich, and I feel like I'm going back about 16 years because that was the last time that the Jets were in the running for a big first-ballot Hall of Fame quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And he came along, and things looked real good there for about 10 games, and then it kind of went downhill, if you'll remember right. I know that you're a Jets fan as well, long-suffering. So I see we've got two players. We've got a first-ballot Hall of Famer, old-timer, twilight of his career, maybe 2 to 5 more seasons, depending on his regimen. And then the other, we've got a generational talent, 26 years old, Hall of Famer, or not a Hall of Famer, but has been named MVP before. It looks like the second coming to Michael Vick. I know he's had injury issues, but I say we pay Lamar and we have a franchise quarterback on our hands. I see flashes of Favre and Aaron Rodgers, and it scares me.
So you would give up the 13th overall pick in this year's draft and next year's draft and pay him $200-something million, set the precedence for the league, and be damned. You're fine with that.
That's the hard part. That's given a lot.
What about the fact that he hasn't finished the last 2 years? You got a problem with that?
He hasn't. But, I mean, Vic tore his ACL when he came back, and he lit it up with the Eagles. I mean, after prison time, too. So I really feel like if we pass on Lamar Jackson, we're going to regret it. Could be that Rodgers comes in 2 years, does big stuff, but I feel like Lamar Jackson deserves to be paid, and I don't think there's collusion. I think that's been a sort of crazy narrative, but I think Chris Canty had something when he was saying on ESPN that's crazy that no one's really looking at him, because I think he's a generational talent, regardless of if he's only started 24 games in the last.
Thanks for the call, Phil. Call back. First time, long time. Hey. People are conflating the fact that he's been franchise tagged, that the Ravens don't want to pay him. You already heard that they will pay him the, if you will, traditional top of the end market. He might wind up being the highest paid annual quarterback in the league. It's just that they won't guarantee every last penny, just like the Browns did. Hey, and you want to talk about regretting a contract? How about the Browns paying Deshaun Watson every single penny? You said they're going to have to redo the deal? Is that what you said?
It's possible they could restructure. I thought I read that yesterday.
Why would Deshaun Watson do that? Why would he restructure?
To help the team out.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Then why would he...
Yeah, this is from Mary Kay Cabot on March 5th. Deshaun Watson open to contract restructure.
So, already 1 year in, the contract is being viewed as unworkable. And he's going to agree. So he'll figure out how to get it all at some point by putting on a credit card down the road so they can mess with the salary cap.
Yeah, first graph. Deshaun opened a restructuring over the next week to help the Browns get under the salary cap, clear some space to add quality veterans via free agency.
So he chooses Cleveland over everyone else because they pay him in a certain manner. And it's with 1 year in already been proven that it's unworkable. And so he's going to do them a solid.
Yeah, just push it down the line, defer some cash.
Probably not hard up for it.
Nope.
Fascinating. Jimmy in San Antonio, always great to chat with Jimmy. How you been, Jimmy?
I'm bien. ¿Cómo estás, hermano?
We're great.
Oui, oui. The answer is better for talking to you.
Oh, better for talking to you, Jimmy. That's right, my bad.
I say that in Spanish.
Hey, man. Brockman, we got Mbappe and Messi Champions League on now, so keep an eye on that one.
Let's go.
And then what are the Browns going to do? Pull off a Bobby Bonilla, and all of a sudden
maybe
Watson's going to get money for years?
I have no idea. Now, I just would find it funny that they're already talking about restructuring a contract that Lamar Jackson is demanding for himself, allegedly.
Didn't Haslam, buy another team or invest in another franchise recently?
I have no idea.
He did.
What did he do?
Lucky Bucks.
Oh, he's the Bucks. Okay. What else? What's on your mind, Jimmy?
Lamar to Washington. Earlier, you said one time's an outlier, Deshaun's contract.
Yes.
Two times is a trend. Past 2 years of Lamar's season ending is a trend, and I think Cowboys are going to be cool if he goes to the Washington Commanders.
What do you think there, TJ?
Lamar to the Commanders?
Well, he's saying that the Cowboys will be fine because in the same way that I pointed out that one's an outlier, two's a precedence, yeah. 2 years in a row he hasn't finished his season.
Well, again, we got to go back to that fact, Rich. We don't know if he could have finished. He just didn't finish.
Then why do you want that guy on your team if he's literally doing that? If he's watching his teammates try and battle to make the playoffs and then go to the playoffs and he's sitting there saying, yeah, I'm not playing because my contract's this.
I mean, look, I can't answer
you want that.
That
guy on your team? Now, that's a different story.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure.
No.
Nobody is.
It's bad. Lamar's got to prove himself. He needs to not do anything except stay with Baltimore, collect his fat paycheck, show that he can finish a season, and then address stuff. He's trying to do stuff that he can't provide or prove that he can do.
Well, what he should do is if he does find that there is no market for him, he shouldn't play for $32 million. He should go to Baltimore and say, let's talk turkey in a different manner. Come off of his stance about all full guaranteed. Swallow that pride and make a killing and get it done. And get it done with a long-term contract that gives him a little bit more certainty, his team a little bit more salary cap-wise, and go to work. Or unless he's just like on the principle of it, refuse to do it. And the interesting thing, is Joe Banner pointed out he's young enough to, if he signs this contract, he's going to make every penny. He'll hit pretty much everything.
Here's what I hear you saying. He needs to hire Daniel Jones's agent.
Maybe. Thanks for the call, Jimmy. I mean, Daniel Jones's agent... They deserve an award, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean,
whatever it is.
You know, it's just all this Lamar talk. We got to remember something. Lamar Jackson wins football games, man. He's 45-16. That's his. We talk about these quarterback wins and losses in the bottom line. The bottom line is,
but he also
wins football.
Well, you just heard Ken Tulo say it's not singles tennis. So there's a team that they surrounded him with and a coaching staff that's nurtured. Don't forget, they draft him. It was Flacco's team. Middle of the season, they bench Flacco, come back with a whole different playbook that clearly Flacco wasn't running.
Yep.
They've changed everything for him.
So what are you saying? Those wins don't... I'm confused.
No, what I'm saying is that it's one of those things he should look around and say, I'm in a pretty good spot.
Oh. Unless,
but the spot won't pay me in the same way that Cleveland's
unless he feels like Rashad
guy.
Bateman's tweet before it got deleted.
That could be it, too.
There's so much stuff
we they changed
really
the OC.
OC.
Changed the OC.
Yeah. Georgia guy.
They got Stetson Bennett's OC.
Well, they got a team that's produced a lot of good running backs in the NFL the last few years.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. When we come back, soundbite of the year. Soundbite of the year. Hands down, soundbite of the year.
And it's just March.
I mean, we got a new clubhouse leader for soundbite of the year. Period. End of story. Rich Eisen here. At U.S. Cellular, they know phones are great, but they're not always so great for us. Sure, they connect us to so much, but they also distract us from, well, us. The us that actually laughs out loud with each other instead of just texting it. That knows being in the same room doesn't always mean being together. So let's find us again by putting our phones down for 5 days, 5 hours, even 5 minutes. Join U.S. Cellular in the Phones Down for 5 Challenge. Find out more at uscellular.com/findus. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. So at NFL Network, our new facilities, not so new anymore, across the street from SoFi Stadium and down the street from the, I guess, revamped, refurbished Forum, the Great Western Forum is now a little concert theater, right?
Yep.
Very nice.
Very nice.
And to add to the YouTube theater that's part of
beautiful
YouTube theater right that's part of
SoFi.
Right part of, it's SoFi. Kind of in the basement of SoFi in a way. Yeah. It's part of SoFi. Incredible facilities in the Inglewood area, as the mayor of Inglewood likes to say, City of Champions.
City of Champions.
Yes. Refers to Inglewood, California. Add, however, to that mix. The future home of the Los Angeles Clippers, just down the street. I mean, every time I drive from here to the NFL Network, it's a very short ride from here in our El Segundo Hacienda, as you refer to it, in a hashtag on our Instagram feeds, TJ.
Yes, indeed.
To get to the City of Champions, real quick, you drive off the 105 freeway. Fans of the film Speed will know it. They used it when it was being built, the 105 freeway. And don't worry, I go the limit. And you get off, and you go north, and you pass the future home of the Los Angeles Clippers. And it's supposed to be beautiful. It's called what? Oracle Arena. It's opening up next.
Intuit.
Okay, Oracle's a different.
Oracle's the
Intuit. Orders, yeah. My bad. Sorry, Clippers.
Old war.
Intuit. And does it open up next season, in time for next season?
24.
Right?
Yeah. 24.
Yeah.
Okay.
So not this next season, but the season. 24-25.
They're building it. And yesterday, to make the necessary announcements, to let everyone know it's coming, Los Angeles Clippers governor, Steve Ballmer.
Ballmer.
Known for a couple things. One, insanely wealthy.
Yeah, got a lot of quan.
Insanely wealthy.
Number 10 in the
number
world.
10 in the world today.
Insanely wealthy.
The world.
And he goes way back being a total lunatic. That's the other thing. Yeah. Total lunatic. Goes way back. All you got to do is see that the Microsoft.
Yeah,
it was like, I guess up front or whatever it was.
It was like,
and him and you can't play the song. Don't play
the
song.
I got the one drop we got from him.
Well, hold on, with him and
Gates,
a
bunch of other
getting
people
out there
were
with the white man's overbite to celebrate Windows 02 or whatever.
Windows
it was
95.
Out. Windows 95.
A bunch of other guys who have B's after their
when
name.
When you're up on the stage with Bill Gates introducing Windows 95. Going crazy. He brought that same energy.
I know.
He brought that same energy for Toilets 23.
Whoa.
What do I mean by that? Here is the man's speech to the gathered throng, wearing a hard hat, talking
first.
About some of the benefits to the new Intuit Arena. Hit it.
Toilets! 1,160 toilets and urinals! Three times the NBA average number of toilets and urinals! We do not want people waiting in line. We want them to get back to their damn seats at the end of the half before the game.
There you go.
Love it.
Wow.
Love it.
Now, we previously thought it was only about the Lawrence...
From now on,
O'Brien
it's
trophy.
All about... The Larry O.B.
But not in this situation. That's if you're number one.
Yeah. But what
if you're not? If you're wondering about one or two.
Toilets!
There
toilets!
You go. It's a new Rich Eisen show drop. Simply the 10th richest man of the world.
Toilets!
Screaming the word toilets.
Very important.
That's our new drop.
Brilliant!
Couldn't be more proud of it.
Wow. Toilets!
And you guys were wondering when I came in today, I'm like, we got a new drop.
I'm like, what?
What is it? Just one word.
Toilets!
That's it. And you're like, when are we going to use it? Does it matter?
Toilets!
Wow.
It's just funny.
I don't know when we're going to use it, but I think it's going to be appropriate.
Never say never, but never.
Toilets!
All righty.
There's something about really rich people in toilets. You ever see that show, My Lottery Dream Home?
No.
Comes on. There's a guy who is like, you know, this guy takes lottery winners and he helps them find their dream home. And I remember this episode.
So people on the show
they
win
the
lottery.
And whatever.
They now have disposable income up the yin and the yang.
Yeah, so now they want to buy a new house. So this guy, David Broomstead, he comes, he helps them find different houses. And there was one episode where this guy won, I think, like $5 million. And the only thing he cared about were the amount of toilets in his house. He goes, got to have toilets. He goes, David, I just want toilets.
Well, I
mean, rich people love their toilets.
When the whole conversation came up about
Russell Wilson's
birthday party,
right?
This past year, like easily the dumbest story of the football season was Russell Wilson threw a party on, I guess, a Monday or Tuesday night or whatever, and only half the team showed a sign of his lack of popularity, right?
I had five people at my birthday.
And anybody in the know knows if you have a party on a Tuesday night, it doesn't matter how famous you are. Next day, it's
It's rough.
It's a business. It's like you're going to work, so some people aren't showing, and it really wasn't that much of an indication of his popularity, we don't think. But the one thing that Chris Brockman wanted to know...
Toilets!
That's it. That's all we wanted to know, about how many toilets his house has.
Toilets!
Four bedrooms, 12 baths!
And you and then you also pointed out, like, anybody who went to the party and really didn't like Russ would be to seek out... his toilet.
Toilets!
And
maybe go in. Maybe do some stuff.
I know.
Yeah.
Drop a deuce.
DJ. You know,
now, see,
DJ.
Now we're doing our best here to kind of keep it above board.
I guess our brands of comedy are different, you know.
I didn't think that.
So, at any rate, hey, Clipper fan, feeling you. Oh. You got to go? Go to a Clipper game.
Right.
Because there are plenty of
toilets
for you.
Yes. Did you want to go to the game? No, I just had to pee.
We got
really
a few
bad.
Minutes. TJ doesn't like to play road games.
Okay.
Pick up
stop.
Now, TJ, will you feel comfortable enough if you do go down the street?
Heck no.
Hold on a second. More importantly, you said that that at the seats there are joysticks at each
this
seat?
This is kind of what he was saying. He wants to have some really interactive fan experience. Said he might put some joysticks or some buttons in seats to have, maybe they're playing games and you can, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see.
Let me ask you a question, Chris. If you are so fortunate to take Cage Brockman at age 5
there ain't no joystick,
to a seat with a joystick, would you sign a waiver that puts you on the hook for breaking that joystick?
Like
or would you move
the
seat?
I have to pay for it? Yeah. Absolutely not.
How fast would your child break a joystick at a game?
Immediately.
Ruin it.
Bomber about that, man.
Honestly.
Pretty much.
You cannot have kids in those seats with buttons or whatever.
No. Maybe it's not every seat. Maybe
I'd wipe that seat down in 2 seconds.
People with kids out there familiar with Magnetiles, right?
Yeah.
You play Magnetiles, I build a nice house or a car. Immediately he smashes it.
I mean, he's Godzilla. Children are Godzilla when it comes to breakable things.
Jeez.
Always.
That is true. That is
just
true.
Let me enjoy the house I built, bro.
I mean, good idea and concept.
I guess we got to see how it turns out, though. You know?
Will you take a trip to the toilet, TJ?
No, definitely. In a stadium?
I don't want to
know
this.
No.
I won't even do that.
Now I must end this discussion.
That's insane, Rich.
On behalf of all of our viewers and listeners.
Never.
I must hit the button on the seat. I must hit the button on the seat.
Oh. Is it a bidet?
And it's over. Stop.
Toilets!
Right. In Europe, they're heated.
Okay. Very good.
Sir, that's a legitimate question. Is there a bidet in there?
So next time the Clippers play a game 7, you got to hit this button. You never know.
Toilets.
There you go.
And Mike, if the Clippers lose in the first round?
World's richest man talking about toilets. That's how we wrap up this show.
Toilets.
Toilets.
No one in the wrestling business has experienced the trials and tribulations, along with redemptions and longevity, quite like Jeff Jarrett. Come along for the ride on the My World with Jeff Jarrett podcast.
They didn't really brand belts in the heyday of boxing. You know, Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Leonard. I mean, they had them, but along comes sports entertainment, professional wrestling, and now it is truly a part of pop culture. They've just branded what it looks like to be a champion.
My World with Jeff Jarrett, wherever you listen.